I did not ask the teens to do that. But hey, that means you're paying attention, right? At least for the minute. We're talking about joy this morning. Joy. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Father, our prayer this morning centers on joy, what it truly means when it comes from you. Let us embrace the joy that comes from the good news of Jesus' birth. Amen. Joy, the Advent candle light, otherwise known as the shepherd's candle, the candle we light today reflects the joy that comes from Jesus' arrival and through the salvation he has gifted us. And on a certain level, we can all relate to things that we think will bring us joy. Joy is finishing the snacks right as the credits of the movie roll, having the perfect ratio of fajita fixings to tortilla shells, or getting a new album dropped at midnight by either Beyonce or Taylor Swift. Joy could be found in a 3.9-liter twin-turbo V8 engine, or it could be found in the ninth nugget in an 8-count meal. Joy is having your kids taking your call immediately, following directions immediately, or even acknowledging what you said immediately. Joy is this. If you can look past the Oscar the Grouch shoes and the Navi knees, this is Christmas 1982 in the dark times that we know between the toys of The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. What I'm holding there is an Alpha Probe, Fisher-Price, Adventure People spaceship when I thought I wanted to go to space. Now, if you find that in the box, it's worth about $100. Not enough to send your kid to college, but maybe enough to start off getting your dog obedience lessons. Christmas 1982. With help from Jill, I was discussing about what we were going to talk about today with joy, and she said, you know, joy is none other than Jesus, others, and yourself. And she saw my expression. I looked at her. I was like, wow, that's great. She's like, you've never heard that before? And I said, state school. I mean, hey, those of you who went to state school, you know, we didn't exactly get that. I'm lucky to be standing up in front of you. But if you take that and put that in another way, if you put yourself in front of others and Jesus, you get you, which doesn't make much sense, right? What do we know about joy? We know joy and happiness are not the same thing. Romans 15:13 tells us that God fills us with joy. John 16:22 tells us that no one can take it away from us. And this is great. I wanted to read this together. In fact, if you will turn with me, the Bibles that are located in your chairs, this is on page 903. But I wanted to read this because as I read it again over the past couple weeks and just thinking about what we were going to talk about this morning and about Jesus's words that he was giving to his disciples, this section in this Bible in the ESV is subtitled, Your Sorrow Will Turn Into Joy. This is John chapter 16 and verse 22. What he says here, he says, so again, he's about to leave. He's about to tell them. He's telling his disciples about what they're about to go through, but also leaves them with these words. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So as I was leaving for school every day, I remember my mom telling me that, and I would be like, oh, okay. She's like, don't let anyone take your joy. And I was like, oh. So then I read this, and I was like, wow. That came from the Bible. Now, I'm still trying to find the fact where Jesus said, you can't hang out with your friends at the mall. That's not in here. But that was great to read that. And I was like, wow, boy, no one can take your joy from you. Happiness can be taken, but not joy. Joy is an extreme happiness that it can't be deterred by your present circumstances. And as we're in this time of Christmas and thinking about Jesus' birth and the world is kind of turning toward that, we can't deny that sometimes our feelings and the way that we feel about certain things may not be exactly where we think joy should be. But as we go through this morning, just a very, very brief look at joy, which should bring you joy. I want to show you what that means and what joy, true joy, means in Jesus. Today we're going to be wrestling in John chapter 1 and verse 14. One verse, but a verse that's very powerful and filled with some things that I'd like to go through and show you. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The term word in the Greek is logos, which meant speaking, a message, or words. I believe Robin told us about that before. And apparently, this was a startling statement to write to the Jewish and the Greek world. Why is that? I don't know. I haven't had that class yet in theology class. But this startling statement was John's declaration. He said, "You thought you knew what joy was. This everlasting Word, who was with God and was God, came to live with us. The Word became flesh, and not just a God, but the God, creator of the universe with ultimate wisdom, knowledge, power, and love." We sometimes ask ourselves, why would God take on human form? Why would he leave heaven and come down and live amongst us? One of the things I love to see, and especially thinking about joy, Jesus, others, yourself, is resting in Philippians chapter 2, 3 through 7. Now, a lot of us, we know this one. But thinking about it in the terms of Jesus, others, and yourself. Verse 3 talks and starts with, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Verse 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Do nothing from selfish ambition. That lines up with what we thought, or what we think, and what we use as that moniker, joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. Jesus came near to us in the form of Jesus, or excuse me, God came near to us in the form of Jesus. We didn't have to struggle to find him. And John connected Jesus coming in the flesh and living with humanity, with God living with Israel in the tent of tabernacle. In other words, you could see that God himself tabernacled among us, and you can see that in the Old Testament. The tabernacle was many things that Jesus was among his people. The tabernacle was the center of Israel's camp. It was the place where the law of Moses was preserved. It was the dwelling place of God. It's where sacrifices were made and the center of Israel's worship. You can see how Jesus was that for us. He was the center of our worship. He was where we would find this revelation of who God truly was. Going back to John 1:14, you said, "And we beheld his glory." So, you know, we all have that one friend that uses words that are not necessarily to make themselves feel good, but are feel big, like, you know, important. But instead of saying, like, for example, you know, they say, "I'm not thirsty, I'm very parched." You know, they kind of make those words. Or you say, like, "Wow, Susie today, man, she was just very persnickety," instead of saying fussy, right? We all have a friend that uses those types of words. Well, John isn't trying to impress us with using the word beheld. He's actually making it stronger. He's saying, rather than we saw or we looked upon his glory, he's meant to drive home that he and the disciples were witnesses. They carefully studied the glory of God. In Exodus 33 and in Deuteronomy 5, we're seeing over and over again, we see the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness. And so it wasn't just to see, but they beheld it. They were there amongst and saw Jesus and the glory that came with him. He was full of grace and truth. Now, I'm told if you need a lawyer, you probably want one that knows what he or she is talking about, which is why I'm probably standing here in front of you today. An aside here, so we did a practice trial in school, and I stood up to give my side, and immediately the other student gunner for whatever he was doing, objected to what I was saying. He kept objecting and objecting and objecting. And finally, I looked so flabbergasted. I looked so tired that I sat down. That actually was not in the, that wasn't in the script. I sat down, I was so tired about what, just him objecting over and over again, that the person that was playing the judge said, "You know what, Mr. Young, it's okay to call a recess if you need it." I said, "I just started talking, you know?" So that again is why I'm here and not in a court of law. But Jesus, he was full of grace. He was fully acceptable to his Father, and he's therefore qualified to plead for us. Jesus knew what he was talking about because he needed to be there for us. And he was full of truth because he was fully aware of the things he was to reveal. Gracious and truthful revelation. Let's take a moment to go back to one of my favorite hymns, one that we just sang, "Joy to the World." The words were written by Isaac Watts, who began studying Latin at the age of 4. He wrote verses at the age of 7. He preached his first sermon at 24. I preach mine at 7. So if you're keeping score, it's Isaac Watts 1, me 1. But according to hymnary.org, "Joy to the World" is the most published Christian hymn in North America. Joy, for Christ's birth is for the world, not just for Fairfax, not just for those who haven't done anything bad today. Joy to the world. Let every heart prepare him room, because the Lord has come to dwell with us. He rules the world with truth and grace, just like the Bible said. So what else do we know? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. If you look at 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, this is on page 1014, this section where Peter's talking about, he says, born again to a living hope. He's talking to those that are going to go through suffering, that are going to go through pain. But he reminds us to rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory in the face of persecutions and imminent death. Joy in the original Greek can be translated cheerfulness, calm, a calm delight, or gladness, which is multiplied greatly. Words that don't necessarily fit with happiness, which may be fleeting. Cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness, which is multiplied greatly. So if you read James 1:2, for example, in that kind of amplified area, you can say, consider it to be clean, clear cheerfulness, and a calm delight when you face trials of many kinds. Most of all, Christ is the epitome of joy in living. So as we've read before, if you've read different things or seen different aspects of how Jesus was presented, maybe in commentaries or teachers, authors, sometimes preachers, songwriters, they've given us a solemn Jesus, kind of a sad Jesus, one that is not very joyous. But in actuality, the scriptures have given us insight as to the type of person that Jesus was. Jesus, crowds of adults would follow him. Little children would be comfortable in his presence. And if anybody is going to be a good judge of you, it's little children. Watch how they treat you. Jesus, while dwelling among us, was definitely a man of laughter. He was a man that children loved and men and women followed. A man who exuded joy. And again, we can see that from those that he came and encountered with. Joy, the joy of Christ was to be at his Father's will and to do his Father's work. John 4:34 reminds us that he even may have forgotten to eat, and the disciples were concerned about him. He said, "You should eat." And what Jesus said to him, he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus had joy in serving. He had joy in pleasing the Father. Joy in doing God's work. And when his work brought him in contact with the lost, that was the joy not only that he felt, but he found joy in finding them and bringing them back. Do you remember in Luke 15 where it talks about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son? I was reading those again, and I found that for when the shepherd found the lost sheep, when the woman found the lost coin, and when the lost son came back, you see this over and over again, that the people said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found what is lost. We have a God who's willing to celebrate, to be joyful in the things and coming in contact with those that are lost. In Luke 10, Jesus sends out the 72 for ministry, and they come back, and the 72 come back with joy, and they're saying, like, look what we did in your name. And a little farther in verse 24, it talks about Jesus being rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. In some versions, it even says he was thrilled with joy to watch those that he had sent out in ministry, because he knew that there was great joy still ahead, but also there were going to be moments of incredibly sorrowful times. There were going to be shameful moments up at the cross. There were going to be agonizing times, but for the joy that was to come after that, that's what made Jesus's work and made him such a joyful person. It makes me think back to the mission team from this past summer. A lot of them were serving the lost, serving the broken, but you should have seen them working in the warehouse, riding on the backs of shopping carts, flipping over couches, doing things that at first I wanted to try to say, let's not do that. But they were having so much joy in doing and working so hard that was something that really made a difference to me and made a difference to those that were working alongside them. And I'm sure you've had other times too when things may have not have gone as you thought they would. But working amongst your brothers and sisters necessarily didn't bring you happiness. But that joy that you found, that's the joy that Christ exampled for us. Let's turn to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The cross, that was not the end. There was joy. Joy is found in victory. When the University of Virginia Cavaliers won the national championship in basketball in 2019, a feat that no other Virginia school has accomplished yet, I was the only one. I was running in the streets when the buzzer sounded at 12:02. The joy was in that victory. It didn't matter what was happening. It didn't matter that no one else joined me. Running around, but that joy was in the victory. And this joy was, that's not even close to the joy that was in the victory that was made at the cross. Hebrews calls us pilgrims, sojourners, for this world is not our home. We can try and find joy in the temporal, in the things that are not eternal, but it won't last. I wanted to bring up this quote from C.S. Lewis. It's a little longer, so I made sure that I wrote it out, but I wanted you to see this. Let's read this together. The settled happiness and security which we all desire, God withholds from us by the very nature of the world. But joy, pleasure, and merriment, he has scattered broadcast. We are never safe, but we have plenty of fun and some ecstasy. It's not hard to see why the security we crave would teach us to rest our hearts in this world and oppose an obstacle to our return to God. A few moments of happy love, a landscape, a symphony, a merry meeting with friends, a bath or a football match have no such tendency, but our Father refreshes us on the journey with some pleasant ends, but will not encourage us to mistake this for our home. I love that, because as we try to go on and try to find something here, or as we may be tempted to find something here that's going to provide us joy, God says it's not here. You're just a passing through, like that hymn says. True joy is with me, and that's been exampled in this time. So what are you facing that may call for a joyous reaction from you? There may be some things that you're celebrating, that you've got successes you want to share with others. There may be some things that are very tough, things that you may be feeling like you're going through yourself, things that you may necessarily didn't even think that you would have to go through. But hopefully, just a glimpse of what we had this morning and about what God has taken us through, and especially with Jesus' birth and waiting for not only his birth, but his arrival, has told us that trying to cling to something here, that's not joy. Yes, we can have a taste of joy through some of the things that make us smile. Good friends, nice time to sit down with each other, and especially maybe even in this season. But that's not true joy. True joy is going through things, that extreme happiness through all types of circumstances. Isaiah 35:10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." As we get ready to close out this portion of worship, maybe you're wondering, where is it that I can find joy? Where is it that I've been trying to see where that is, but I've been kind of delayed by happiness? I've been kind of not being able to find it because happiness has been in my way, or trying to find something that's not everlasting. We've got people here that would love to tell you about where to find joy, how to find that. And not that we've solved it, not that we've proven that that's something that we have attained and reached, but we know where we can go. We know where we can find joy. And even you being here this morning is something that brings joy to my heart. And I know that brings joy to the hearts of your brothers and sisters. Let's find that joy together. Let's not be satisfied with the things that we think bring us joy. And let's find those things that bring us joy. Let's go to the Father who brings us joy, an everlasting joy, where sighing and sorrow will disappear. Let's stand and sing.